This is the Sad Panthers Fan Podcast with Lauren Brownlow and Alec Campbell.
You can download this weekly podcast at WRALSportsFan.com and the WRAL SportsFan app, or subscribe on iTunes and Google Play stores.
Now, here's your host for the Sad Panthers Fan Podcast, Lauren Brownlow and Alec Campbell.
All right, so the season is over, and I am not as disappointed that the Panthers ruined their draft position, but I'm more disappointed that you weren't able to complete the lose out for the last, 6 weeks of the season?
Yes, and Joe Ovius had promised a bottle of Prosecco for me.
I think you still deserve it.
He was offering it to me anyway.
Because there were mitigating circumstances in that game.
What, like the Panthers not doing anything right, even lose when they're supposed to? Yeah.
Plus the Saints sitting a lot of dudes, too.
Sean Payton. I knew it.
I was very upset. I was mostly upset over that.
I was so annoyed. And because, like, here's the other thing, too. Of all the teams that the Panthers face regularly, and we've talked about this, I hate the Saints the most. It's not close, right? I couldn't even enjoy a rare win over them.
Right.
And at all.
And there were some good stories, too.
Right.
Like,
and it
Kyle
was like,
Allen
oh.
was cool. Even Heinicke was cool the week before, but
sure.
Allen was cool. Maybe that was the best
Ryan Khalil's going out
with
a win. Cool. That also took them from apparently 9th to 16th in the draft. That's
right.
Seven spots. If they had squeaked into the playoffs as like the last team in, they would have picked 20th. So they are only four spots better than they would have been if they had freaking snuck into the playoffs.
Yeah, it wasn't even a worthwhile win.
No. It wasn't. Like, I don't care. Y'all can save me all your sentimentality. I like Ryan Khalil, too.
Yeah.
I don't think that him winning his last game will in any way make him feel better about the way this season ended. At least it shouldn't. So, this is all stupid, and I hate it. And it was so annoying.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I didn't...
I had to beat Teddy Bridgewater. Who wants to beat Teddy Bridgewater? We are the worst.
True. And he's a great comeback story.
God.
To be honest with you, I did have the game on and I was sitting there, but I got to say, I wasn't really paying a whole lot of attention to it. I did notice that Kyle Allen was playing pretty well, but other than that, I was kind of just nonplussed by the whole idea. I was more intrigued by the fact
that... I was more annoyed. I was actually angry increasingly as it was going
on. Those things registered with me, the fact that they were actually winning this game and ruining draft position. And also the fact that you were going to lose out on the losing streak on the Prosecco, which again you should still get. But
he still has it. He bought it from Trader Joe's.
I watched that game out of obligation,
not
out of any kind of want to. But anyway, who cares at this point? The season's over. They're 7-9, which actually turns out to be a record that I think most of us probably could have predicted. I think at the beginning of the year we said that it was going to be around an 8-8. Maybe a 7-9 or a 9-7 type season. But it was the way in which it happened.
They should and they should change like their mascot name to that. It's like that they have like this magnet pulling them towards as close to mediocrity as they can possibly get. It's very upsetting, actually. It's so annoying.
All right, so you mentioned that it was Ryan Khalil's last game, and there are kind of a lot of line items to get to.
He's really the only one we know it was his last game. There are others we can have.
True.
Different sort of guesses as to whether it is.
Yeah, so I'm going to play this game.
Okay.
It's called Do You Want Him Back?
Okay.
All right?
All right.
So let's start with Thomas Davis. How about that? Because there's a chance he comes back, but there's also a chance he doesn't. Do you want Thomas Davis back?
No.
You don't?
I don't believe what he says because he said it before about he would be willing to come back in a diminished role, and I guess he'd be willing to take less money. I mean, he'd have to be. That's the other thing.
Yep.
He'd have to be. I think I really like him a lot.
Mm-hmm,
I do. He didn't have like a horrible season or anything. I'm not saying that. But at the same time, I just think it's time like for this organization to become one that no longer sentimentally sticks with its vets. They need to get younger now on defense, just like right now.
Yes, I think that Thomas Davis, look, I think his entire career has been incredible, the way that he has come back from all the knee surgeries and played.
The way he played, what he played through in the Super Bowl, like it's insane.
Exactly. Continued to play
really good dude.
Even at his age and still be a pretty effective player. His pass coverage is not where it used to be anymore because he's aged.
Right.
His run defense is still pretty good.
Yeah.
So I think
he's certainly not bad. I'm not saying that. It's just
I think there is some value to having him back. Obviously, his leadership is there. He's well respected, of course, by a lot of different players. He and Luke Kuechly, I think, work well together. But he does have diminished skills at this point.
Yes.
And it would have to be on a very diminished contract as well. So
yes.
I can't say that I would necessarily be disappointed if he was back.
I think,
but
just,
I agree
yeah.
with you in the sense of kind of turning the page
I think
on this
it would,
organization.
You know what it was kind of reminds me of too? Like when the Steve Smith thing was happening and there was this sort of sense of like, not that you want to get rid of Steve Smith, you never want that. I didn't want that. But there was this sense of like there are people in this organization, whether it was Cam Newton or other wideouts or whatever, that would never take the next step because he was there. Mm-hmm. And I feel a little bit like that about TD.
Yeah, you could be right about that. And then speaking of guys like that, since we're mentioning people that this organization has fallen in love with, how about Greg Olsen? Do you want him back?
No.
That's fine. If you don't, it's okay.
Well, I mean, it's hard because, again, another guy that's very likable.
Sure.
I think when he's playing up to his physical capabilities, he's very good. I don't know what the plan B, though, is to get rid of him.
I mean, I guess Ian Thomas is plan B.
Well, but I mean, like, what is his cap situation? Is his contract just up?
You know, that's a good question.
That's the thing. So if you're going to have him count against the cap regardless, then okay. Come back and we'll see where he's at health-wise. Maybe he can make another comeback and play. I think Ian Thomas really came along, though, in the last few weeks of the season without Olsen there. And that none of that was Olsen's fault. You know, when we saw Ian Thomas before that, I don't think he was super ready anyway. But I also thought Thomas played really well towards the end of the year. And I, at a certain point, they're going to have to move on from Greg, too. And I just honestly, I feel like that foot or, you know, the situation he's in is just – he snaps away at this point.
So Greg is signed through the next two seasons.
That's what I thought. So I don't know what they'd have to do.
His cap hit next year would be pretty significantly less than it would be the following year.
Okay.
So
it's like next year, let's see what happens. Maybe he can give us one more year.
It's a $7 million cap hit this coming season, and it's an $11 million cap hit the following season. And he's only owed, let's see, he looks like he's only owed about, I think it's like a $4 million situation next year. 1.9 base mm-hmm. and a 3.7 signing bonus.
That's not, yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I like Greg too. I don't know that there's much, again, similar with TD, I don't know that there's much downside to bringing him back, especially if you think that Ian Thomas can be a guy that can fill in.
Well,
but,
TD, you'd have to re-sign at this point.
Yeah, TD.
So there's that.
Right, TD's different in that situation.
Yeah.
But the thing about Greg, man, is that I don't trust that injury.
I don't either.
I just don't.
You kind of convinced me on that at the beginning of this year, and especially the way it played out.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a classic situation. It's a classic scenario. It's like this happens with a lot of dudes.
Mm-hmm. And it really stinks.
So it does. It stinks. And he also, you know, he had the surgery on it. So, and as I mentioned, part of the problem with coming back and getting it hurt again is that the recovery always compounds every single time you have to do it.
Yep.
It's already like typically if you were going to let it heal correctly the first time, it's basically a season long healing process. None of them do that because the pain gets reduced and they think they can play on it and they go back and do it and they hurt it again. But it just takes too long to heal. The second time you do it, it takes even longer. So who knows when he'll even be back next year anyways.
He won't wait, though. You know how he is.
Well, I mean, it probably isn't worth it for him to wait at this point because...
And he won't.
If he's ready to go, come back and play, see if it works, and if it doesn't, that's probably the end for him.
If it doesn't, he can at least upgrade the Monday Night Football booth.
But, exactly. And he's already, he's already put himself in position to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
All right, Eric Reed, do you want him back?
Yes. I do.
I agree.
But now, with the caveat of, let's see what he's going to demand on the market. I don't think we need to overpay at this point. But that's the caveat. I think, they kind of got him for a bargain. I don't think it would be quite as much of a bargain this time around.
No,
but,
it won't.
Maybe he'll give him a little bit of a, I won't want to say hometown discount, but if it's comparable, maybe he'll stay because they took a chance on him.
Mm-hmm. He likes Charlotte. He said as much. He wants to come back. He wants to play there.
I thought he was very good this year.
Agree.
Aside from a few moments where maybe I think his emotions got the best of him, but I think that would, A, was understandable to a degree, and B, I think would settle down a little bit next year. So, yeah.
All right. How about Captain Munnerlyn?
Nope. Bye.
Yeah. I think Captain's
Captain
years
of the olds on that defense.
Yeah. I think Captain best years are behind him.
Burnt toast.
You know, he's already a guy at his size that, you know, had to be at the top of his game to compete in the NFL. And he did very well for himself for a long time. And at this point, it's just going to be more and more difficult.
And did some really good job, you know, talking crap about the Panthers when he was away from them. So.
Here's a couple that I think I already know the answer to.
Okay.
Devin Funchess.
Bye.
Yeah, super bye. See you later.
Yeah. I mean, look, I don't know what the chicken or egg situation was there with Devin. Like, I don't know if he felt like, because there were times this year where I thought he played really well, but probably the last half of the season, he played terribly, in my opinion. And it got worse as his snaps went down to get the younger guys more snaps, which I thought was the smartest thing Ron Rivera did all year was that. But I don't know if that was what caused him to play worse or if he was already playing poorly according to the coaches and they just decided to limit him even more. Regardless, he was a healthy scratch completely against the Saints, which, again, I thought was very good coaching decision by Rivera. And I didn't like the way he ended the season. I just didn't. I hate to say that about an athlete. I really do. But it felt like he kind of gave up.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was...
Well, apparently there is some diva-ishness to Devin Funchess. And apparently a lot of his act has worn thin inside the locker room, too, from things that I've read. So
it's like he was mad that they were playing well, and I don't know.
Well, I mean, so it makes sense to me that a guy who probably thinks more highly of himself than he is is suddenly not willing to put forth an effort when he's not getting the opportunity.
I mean, there were some picks came through before he sat out the last few games that, like, it looked blatantly clear that he was just quitting on the route. Like that, and they even called him on TV. They were like, it seemed like Funchess was supposed to do XYZ.
One where he just simply didn't turn around. I can't remember what game that was. He was wide open and didn't turn
around.
That
was when I first knew that, like, okay, things are getting really bad.
See, for me, even when he was, when things were quote-unquote going well for him, he was always sort of an average player to me.
He was still a little all over the place, too. Yeah,
I just never was on board with
Devin
Funchess.
He was a red zone threat that they needed, and they'll have to replace that because the guys left on that roster are not those sort of, you know, tall, go-up-and-get-it guys, but, you know.
Just another in the long list of Panther wide receivers that didn't work out.
Sigh.
Dwayne Jarrett.
Oh.
Kerry Colbert.
Kelvin Benjamin.
Devin Funchess. Kelvin Benjamin. Yeah. There's a long list. I'm sure there are more.
Legadoon Ané.
All right. Oh, my God. David Geddes.
Oh, sure.
Although, albeit...
Who's the dude who went to... LaFell.
Yeah, Brandon LaFell. Who was... I kind of liked LaFell a little bit, but he was inconsistent.
Yeah.
Man, David Geddes, his was more about injury, I think, than anything else, but I had such high hopes for him, and they just never came to be. All right, how about this one? Matt Khalil. Because there is a lot of money left owed to him.
That's the biggest issue. I think you have to roll with him at this point. They don't have a choice.
They can't. See you later.
How?
I mean,
can't take that cap hit.
I just don't understand what happened to him this
year. What do
you
mean? He wasn't. Well, you mean injury wise? Oh,
yeah,
I see what
you're
saying because he was healthy enough to come back and they didn't
bring him back. Supposedly, and they didn't. So I'm curious about that entire situation. I just don't.
I wonder if maybe they wanted. But they can't trade that contract.
Apparently,
there's no way anyone would take that contract.
According to Joe Person of The Athletic, they're willing to roll with Moten as their, like, starting left tackle, and Darrell Williams will come back.
Right,
And they'll I don't know if he needs to be re-signed or not, but...
You can't.
Those are the two guys that they're going to roll with.
So my so now what are you going to do with Khalil?
So now you have a dude making a ton of money sitting on the bench.
That doesn't make any sense to me. I'm sorry. And I don't like seeing him play. But at the same time, like, you can't get anybody to take that contract. You can't take that cap hit. You got to try it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
All right, so the next two players I'll ask you kind of gets us into another portion of this, which is the Cam Newton portion of this. Taylor Heinicke and Kyle Allen.
Here's the thing.
Does it matter?
It doesn't to me, really. It really doesn't because, and I think we saw this in the last two games, right, where especially in Heinicke's game, it's like, oh, right, that's what Cam Newton does for this team. Because this line is garbage.
Mm-hmm.
This offensive line is not good. And Cam hid that enough for a while that you didn't really see it.
Right.
And now that the backups are in and Taylor Heinicke almost got, like, murdered repeatedly
in that game. They went through four quarterbacks
in
the last 2 weeks.
I mean, if that doesn't tell you alone what Cam can hide and the deficiencies he can hide, like, I don't know what to tell you.
Christian McCaffrey was about to be the backup quarterback, or he turned into the emergency quarterback on Sunday in New Orleans.
If that had happened, we would not have had a podcast because I would have driven to Charlotte and just like raged. I just would have.
That reminds me of another topic we have to get to.
I was so angry because you know who was the week before, right? It was Pilardi. It was the emergency quarterback.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. So suddenly Pilardi's more important to you than Christian McCaffrey? If he had actually put him out there for a single snap, I would have lost my mind.
Oh, so you would have just gone with Pilardi anyways there behind Garrett Gilbert.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
You don't put Christian McCaffrey out behind that O-line at quarterback.
Fair.
Unless he's literally...
I mean,
he's important to your franchise a little.
I would say.
I think Ron just has like...
I would say has
like a fetish for putting his most important players in danger.
Yeah. Is it Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey numbers one and two importance to your franchise right now?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably fair, and you maybe could even, especially with the way the season ended, you could go 1-1A. If you're looking at Cam with a limited shoulder, you might go 1-1A. If you're looking at completely healthy Cam, I think it's 1-2. Yeah.
Okay, so as we get to the quarterback situation here, Joe Person, I just follow. I read everything Joe writes. So
yeah, he used to write.
Shout
out
to Joe. He's a cool dude.
He used to write for the News and Observer.
Yeah, now he writes for The Athletic, and he does a really good job, and he also sounds like Norm MacDonald on the phone. So I like that. All right. He wrote that the Panthers should look at drafting a successor for Cam Newton. In fact, the actual quote in his column was, "They have to figure out much more quickly how to proceed with Newton and whether to invest a high draft pick or free agency dollars on a successor or dependable fallback option."
Yeah, I mean, I think the "ors" here are the key words, though, because I don't know that he's necessarily saying they should draft his successor in this draft, because I'm sure he probably has looked into this as much as we all have. I don't think his successor is in it.
Agree with that. I just feel like the notion of that hit me very hard. The notion of drafting a successor for Cam Newton, because, I mean, we're coming into like Cam Newton's ninth season or something like that next year. And if he doesn't play, which I think might also be on the table.
That's on the table. Yeah, I was going to say Jordan Rodrigue had been writing about that. She'd been talking to people, I believe she's from the News and Observer now. She's been talking to people like from the Colts and stuff that dealt with Andrew Luck's injury.
Exactly.
And he's looked great this year. He's looked much better.
They're going to the playoffs.
Yeah, he tried to play through it, and we saw what happened to him, and then he came back and looks much better, and he looks completely healthy. He's pretty much the same age as Cam as well, right? So I don't know that it's the same injury. So I don't know. We don't know what's wrong with Cam Newton. That's the thing.
But I don't know if it's just simple dead arm or if there's a nerve issue or whatever it is, or if they're linked or anything like that.
Right.
Or if it's the same thing that he had before.
Right. So it's easy for us to sit here and say like he should sit out. I think what we all just want is for him to be completely healthy when he comes back and to do what's best for his long-term health, period. And I don't know that a lot of us, myself included, feel like that's happened or that we can trust some of the people in charge for that to happen, including Cam himself.
Right.
Including Cam himself, because he's competitive to a fault and it's hard to get him to sit himself down. Ron Rivera is probably playing for his job or coaching for his job next year. He's not going to want to sit him down if he thinks he gives him the best chance to win. All of these things will matter. Hopefully David Tepper steps in and just says, hey, this is what we're doing. That's what I hope will happen.
Well, the Panthers, again, going back to the fact that they stupidly won the game and got to 16 in the draft, they're not going to find – first of all, as you mentioned, there aren't really
many quarterbacks worth drafting,
especially not at
not
number 16.
Spot. Not even 16, yeah.
Right? Or, I mean, even if it was ninth.
Right.
You know, even if they
had
the ninth
especially
pick in the
draft. Especially if it were ninth, it's not worth it. Yeah.
But, you know, I do feel like – I guess at some point you've got to start thinking about what's next in terms of a quarterback for this franchise, depending on how Cam Newton comes back from this injury. But I thought that was kind of an interesting notion that he brought up, just the idea that maybe we're at the end of the Cam Newton run and that's something that has to be thought about at this point.
I think one thing he did mention, though, too, is like when it comes to a fallback option. Because right now, in my opinion, neither quarterback that they are playing is a dependable fallback option.
I mean, those guys are lifetime backups.
Right.
Right? They're career backups. They're not a fallback option in the sense that if Cam Newton can't play next year,
that they can win them games.
You're going to let Taylor Heinicke automatically be your starting quarterback.
Yeah. That's not a thing that will happen. So, you know, if you want to look into free agency to getting a better backup the way they did with Derek Anderson, which I thought worked really well for them for a couple years, and maybe someone like that can get them through. However, but those guys aren't easy to find. I mean, look across the league, man.
I just don't think that.
And they go for a lot now because they're not easy to find.
I don't think that there's anyone that's not, unless you're just a high dollar free agent quarterback.
Right.
I mean, I don't even know what the market looks like in terms of those guys.
Yeah.
But typically, if you're any good, you stay with the team where you are. So I don't see there being anyone that's going to come in here. And like, to me, if Cam Newton's not there, then it's kind of foregone conclusion what we can think
Here's
about
my
the
thing.
Season.
I know people want to nitpick a lot of things about Cam, and I think you and I are on the same page about what we think of Cam. Look at what Kirk Cousins just earned on the open market. It's not because the Vikings were like, wow, we're necessarily like, wow, we think Kirk Cousins is like the best quarterback of all time. It's because there's no one else out there.
Right.
Like, that's the thing. So all these people are like, well, it's time for the Panthers to move on and have a new friend. Who?
Right.
Who are you thinking
about? I mean, that's always the next question for
people. Because, and honestly, when we looked at Ron Rivera and the fact that he's coming back, part of the question was who would replace him. And when I didn't have a good answer for that, and I don't think a lot of teams have a good answer for that, I'm like, fair enough. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I moved on because maybe there's not that person out there right now to replace him. So
yeah, I mean, well, those questions are hard to answer before the coaching carousel really gets cranked up. Like now, you can look at guys that have been released that maybe you want to coach, but before, it's hard to really answer
those
questions.
Yeah, it was basically like as soon as Harbaugh re-signed, the Panthers and some other teams were like, yeah, never mind.
I mean, would you want like a Josh McDaniels? Some like a guy like that
who's looking to be a head coach again. I'm not super enthusiastic about that.
Right.
You know, I don't want another retread. And then, you know, you look at like the Bucks at this point are like talking to Brian Kelly and apparently like the Cowboys defensive backs coach / passing game coordinator.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you don't want to be in that position, do you?
No, I don't. I wouldn't feel comfortable with Brian Kelly.
I think it's, well, there's that. But I think it's analogous to the Cam situation, right? Like, all right, you tell me you don't think he's a franchise quarterback anymore. Who you got?
Right.
Who's coming up in this draft? Who's out there that you want to go get? Like, no one has a good answer for that.
Yeah. Cam's still better than whatever the replacement would be.
I promise y'all that. Yeah. I know some of y'all like to find any reason to dislike him, and I get it. And he's not perfect. He's far from it. But no. y'all don't know what you got till it's
gone.
And
if there were a better draft class of quarterbacks this year.
Yeah, I would say maybe consider it.
And the Panthers had the 9th pick.
Sure.
That they should have had, I would say it would be a talking point. It would be a discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I don't know that it is just yet.
I don't even know that Kyler Murray is that guy.
All right. So speaking of the draft, what's the priority for the Panthers in the draft then? Or in the offseason in general? Not necessarily a certain name, but maybe a position group.
I think pass rush is a big one.
I think that's the number one.
I really think it has to be because I think almost any issue they had defensively this season stemmed from that being deficient. So like,
it was
I think,
old and slow, and it didn't get any pressure.
Linebackers struggling, DB struggling. I think it all stemmed from that, and it has to be better or else they're not going to. And apparently this is a very deep draft class for that. Would have been nice to get a really elite one at 9. Cool.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're about to see some of the elite ones in the national championship game on Monday night. All right. How did Ron Rivera save his job?
By the fact that there's nothing else out there, I think.
So we already answered that.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the answer.
Do you think that David Tepper's loyalty, Pittsburgh upbringing, type thing had anything to do with it?
No.
It was just literally like, we don't know what else to do.
Right. I think he literally, because that's the thing, and that is always a fair question to ask when you want to fire somebody, and a question enough people don't, like, not enough people ask.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you want?
Yeah, people just want change for change all the time.
There is part of me that would really like a young offensive mind, you know, even one that's not a name.
Right.
I would be okay with that, but at the same time, like, you know, I'm sure he looked at the fact that the offense was doing better under Norv. Maybe you bring Steve Wilks back, I don't know, as defensive coordinator or whatever.
I'd be cool with that.
Or tweak some things defensively, both personnel-wise, or just let Ron be in charge of it and just see what happens.
I'm all for the Wilks move. It worked when he was here. They were much more aggressive. They blitzed a lot more.
Of course, they need the personnel to do that.
Yeah, they do. But I think if they fortify the defensive line, I think they have the players. If you look across the right. secondary, the young players, you can still have some hope for.
And they need to keep getting younger. You got, you know, 38-year-old Mike Adams back there, too. And
I think he's going to be gone.
I think he is, too. I think.
But
he
you'll
is
have
too.
Eric Reed. Mm-hmm. You'll have James Bradbury.
Dante Jackson.
Right, you'll have Dante Jackson. Mm-hmm.
Rashawn Golden started getting some reps towards the end of the year.
So they will get better with a better pass rush. I mean, everything yeah. stems from that. A good pass rush helps your secondary, right? All right. And last but not least, mm-hmm. and maybe we should have put this in a different order, but Christian McCaffrey, just talking about him, kind of brought this up in my mind because I saw that Ron Rivera said that he would like to kind of scale back the workload that Christian McCaffrey gets next year. And I'm pretty sure he saw every snap for the last, like, 6 weeks of this. Or
yeah, they cut him down towards the very end of the year. But, yeah, there was a chunk of time
the
there.
Last game, yep. he didn't. But the games before that, yep. I think he saw just about every snap.
It was Greg Van Roden on the line played actually every snap.
Which is
insane.
I mean, that's crazy. So I guess my question is more, is it possible to come through with that? When you say that you want to give him less, you know, less snaps and, you know, kind of take care of him a little bit more.
I mean, I don't know. You see C.J. Anderson now. I think 2 weeks in a row he's had 100 yards for whoever he's with now. Who's he with now?
He was with the Raiders, right. got cut, and then he went somewhere else.
The Rams, and he's had 100 yards now 2 weeks in a row.
That's awesome.
It's like, which is good for him. For whatever reason, it didn't work here.
Of course it didn't work with the Raiders.
Right. Well, yeah, no one would work with the Raiders. But my thing is, like, I think they need to have – regardless of what it is, you got to have another back that can take carries. And we got to stop the Cameron Artis Payne experiment. Like, he's been around for long enough now. If they liked him this much, he'd be somebody that plays every week
right.
and takes backup snaps. That has not been the case. Yeah.
They just keep cutting him in preseasons and then bringing him back.
And he's like the new Brenton Burson, except not as anger-inducing for me. But I just think they need to get a running back. This is not a high priority by any means, but they do have to get somebody else that can take carries. I mean, it's just that simple for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, agree. He's not going to be able to continue to take that type of workload at his position.
No.
And be here for a long time. And I would like to see Christian McCaffrey in a Panthers uniform for longer than one contract.
That would be great.
Yeah, that would be great. All right, so any other lasting thoughts on this season as we ride off into the sad Panthers fan sunset for the year?
I mean, you sort of touched on it. I think there are some things to be excited about with the young guys, and especially, you know, DJ Moore, Curtis Samuel, playing well towards the end of the year. Dante Jackson was really fun. It's really hard not to sort of look at this and just think about how much time was wasted of Cam Newton's prime and if we'll ever see that again.
Yeah.
And it makes me sad.
Yeah. I mean, obviously the hope is that Cam Newton comes back healthy
yeah.
next season. I don't know how confident I feel in that being the case.
I don't either.
Hopefully, if there's a situation where he needs surgery, they go ahead and get that done instead of
yeah.
repeating what they did the last time he had surgery.
The only thing that gives me hope, too, is that I would hope that David Tepper is way more involved and he's like, hey, this is what needs to happen,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to get this done.
But, I mean, I guess I feel like if Cam Newton does come back healthy and can play a full, healthy season for however longer that is,
yeah.
I like the base pieces that are there.
Mm-hmm.
I like DJ Moore, and I like Curtis Samuel, and I like
yeah.
McCaffrey, and I still think, as we mentioned, Cam Newton's better than whatever
Ian Thomas.
Replacement
I forgot
is.
To mention him. I thought
I like
played
Ian
really
Thomas.
Well. Yeah.
I think they should be able to at least make an attempt at fortifying the offensive line a little bit more in the offseason. Luke Kuechly, I still think is playing at a high level. So
if you can get him some
support. Especially with a better pass rush, that will help him too. So I like kind of the players that you can build around
right.
that are there already. So if Cam Newton can come back, you know, I feel like I'll feel fairly optimistic when the season rolls around next year. I mean, I don't know that I'm going to walk in and say Panthers are ready to win another Super Bowl. They could. It's the NFL. Things happen year to year that are crazy. You never know. And a lot of the games the Panthers played in this year were close games. They didn't win a lot of those games as they did in the, you know, the Super Bowl year and in the years past.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you got to do to put yourself over the hump for playoff spots a lot of times and for Super Bowls. You got to be able to win those 3- and 7-point games. And the Panthers were abysmal in those games this year.
Mm-hmm.
They were terrible on the road. So, you know, I'm not, I guess I don't go in the off season like super doom and gloom about, wow, this team has a tremendous uphill battle to get back to, you know, a place of prominence. I think there are people there if they come back and they're healthy, namely
right.
Cam Newton.
That's just the biggest question mark to me right now, though.
All right, 7-9. That's it.
the Carolina 7-9.
Perfect.
They should change their name to that.
Love it. All right, we will, I guess, talk to you next season. Maybe we'll do a draft podcast at some point. But in the meantime,
sure.
You can follow the Sad Panthers Fan. Does the Sad Panthers Fan Twitter come out at all anytime in the off season?
I might tweet through it in the playoffs. We'll see.
Maybe at the draft time?
Certainly in the Super Bowl, I might tweet through it a little bit, although I can usually just keep that in the main account at that point. But sometimes there are some tweets that I can only really send from Sad Panthers.
Either way, yeah. You should follow at Sad Panthers Fan and at L.E. Brownlow, and you can follow me at Alec Campbell 5 if you want, and we'll talk to you soon.
You've been listening to the Sad Panthers Fan Podcast with Lauren Brownlow and Alec Campbell. Remember, you can download this weekly podcast at WRALSportsFan.com and the WRAL Sports Fan app, or subscribe on iTunes and Google Play stores.